So here we are.
Here we are. We're back. Ish. Kind of. Not
Oh.
really. Welcome the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where this is our last mini episode before season three starts.
That's exciting. I'm Karen.
And I am Mandy.
And we are both from. Where are we from, Mandy?
Pause for dramatic effect.
I don't know. Where are we from?
Oh. Where we are both from, Salazar's Incredible Elemental Circus.
What she said. We were very prepared.
Yes.
Listen, the holidays took it out of us, okay? So.
I have done nothing but not use my brain and eat cheese for like a month. So,
I got deathly ill 6 days before Christmas.
ugh.
So that was fun. So I think my brain is just scrambled. So it's
Yeah.
fine. We're good.
As my nieces would say, I'm just a girl. I'm just a girl.
Just a girl. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's an intruder. Our
Yay.
first of 2024.
Very
I almost said
exciting.
2023. Who am
Oh
I?
no, we are not repeating a year.
No, not going back.
We have with us the author of Sanctuary of the Shadow, Aurora Asher. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Did I
We're
pronounce
so
that correctly?
excited. Yeah.
Okay. We're so excited. It was so much fun to read the book.
Yes.
One of our first questions that we asked our guest is, can you give us an elevator pitch of the book for anybody who hasn't heard of it yet?
Yeah, this is actually like the hardest question I get asked ever, I think. But I guess it's like it's a forbidden romance between a fortune teller who works at a magical circus and mysterious, dangerous man who shows up. And there's evil slash morally gray queens and elemental magic. I don't know if that sums
No,
it
it
up.
hits
You
all the
summed it
major
up
points,
pretty
I think. Yeah.
well.
Yeah. I freaking loved the traveling circus. And like, this is so silly, but there's a point that gave me like what might have been happening like in the background of Dumbo. Like, I felt like Dumbo was somewhere in a cage because like I could just picture like these caravans, everybody's got their own. And then I don't want to give too much away, but there's a tent with a cage in it that they don't really want anybody to go in. And I was just like, there's one of these for Dumbo
Hey,
somewhere.
but I haven't even thought about that movie in like 25 years, so now I need to go watch it. So thank you.
It was my husband's like favorite movie as a kid, and so like I haven't watched it because I can't traumatize myself like that. The pain, I can't do it. But yeah, like I loved the traveling circus. I love a circus story anyways, but seeing like the behind the scenes is really cool. Like them having like everybody basically having their own train car, but with like horses instead.
The horses, yeah.
That was so fun. It was so fun to read.
Where did the story idea come from? Like, how did you come up with the setting and also the magic system that happens in the story?
So I decided to write a fantasy, and I think the original inspiration was I just wanted to, like, I've traveled a lot, I've been to a lot of places, and I just wanted to, like, take bits and pieces from places that I've been and kind of incorporate it into a story. So, like, a lot of the settings are like not based, but more just like loosely inspired by, like I've been to like old growth forests, and I've also been to deserts, and I've been to, whatever old cities. Like Allegra is based off of a city in India. And
Really?
then the elemental magic, I think, was kind of because I am a nature lover, and I just like the idea of like incorporating like nature into the magic system and having it kind of be the, yeah, like the core of all the people and their how they work.
Yeah, that's
It
really
was definitely
cool.
fun.
Okay, so on your website, it has the Elemental Emergence series, and I need you to know. And I text Karen this as I was reading. I'm in love with Aro. Can he come back?
Please.
Yeah, he'll come back. Yeah, don't
Okay, good.
worry.
Because
Yeah, I have plans
I'm
for
like head
him.
over heels. And so every new chapter, I was like, is he gonna come back? Is he gonna come
She texts me. She's
back?
like, don't tell me, but like, I love Oro. And I was like,
I
I'm
know,
not
because
saying
I was like,
anything.
am I gonna mess this up?
Am I in love with him?
Yeah, am I gonna regret every second of my life because I'm in love with Aro. But then I also like Wraith gave me such like Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy vibes, how he's like so strong and like brutal, can, you know, lay out however many people he wants to, but he's like struggling because of spoilers. He's struggling for memories and knowing like what's right, what's wrong. Is this okay? Is this normal? So he's speaks very simply. Like, did you have any kind of inspiration for him or any of the other characters?
I think I've always been a huge sucker for like any character that's like super evil, the terrible monster, but then really they're just like misunderstood or like, like they just need a little, you know, love or whatever. Like that's like, I'm like weak for that trope. So I think, yeah, I don't know if it was that he was based on anything. It was more just that like it was yet another like way for me to express that trope that I love so much, is like the forgotten, misunderstood, like everyone thinks they're evil and like irredeemable, but really they're just like confused and lost.
I actually copied that from your website. You say something about how you love misunderstood monsters and redeemable antiheroes. And like, this is like, just, it's a Marvel reference, but like, I will die on the hill that Killmonger is not a villain. He's an anti-hero. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. And he's not a bad guy. He's the hero for a lot of people. So I love that. Yeah. Like, I love a good anti-hero too. I'm with you. I'd ride hard for that trope. It's one of the best ones out there.
It really is. Did you go into it knowing, I guess it's, I don't know if I would say it's a twist per se, but knowing how the love story would play out and knowing that these two characters, you know, it's hard to talk about without spoiling things, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know. And to be completely honest, I literally had no idea. Like, I was just writing and then I was like, no way. like, I totally, I don't know. Sometimes that happens to me when I'm writing, like, it just like writes itself. And I was like, surprised. So yeah, it was very much of the moment.
That is so fun.
Yeah. I love when like that happens, when not the, even the author is like, I had no idea this is where this
is. And like, then after I wrote it, I was gonna say, after I wrote it, I felt like, oh yeah, like that had to happen from the beginning.
Yeah,
you know, and when you read like, it, you know, like, to be. It had to. But yeah, at the time, I didn't really know.
There were like twists that I was like, I know this is coming. I know this is coming. Bleep this out, Karen. So it's not a spoiler. I was convinced. I was like, this is gonna be the big reveal. Wow.
I love but that. Then, I didn't even.
I just, I don't know why. I don't know. Because of the.
That's a good vibe. Moment. Yeah.
But then, like, all of the twists with the where it's like, are you good? Are you bad? Are you helping us? Do you hate us? What's good? Like, I could not read fast enough to figure out, like, what is going to happen. I was shocked.
It was so much fun. There were, like, definitely things that I was just like, wait, I need a breather. What's happening?
Yeah. I love her bestie too. Malika. You're going to have to tell me how, Malika. I kept trying to say Malika, but then I was like, no, that's not how that's spelled. Yeah. I freaking love her. I want to be friends with her. Like, everybody should have a bestie like that, because a lot of people would hear my friend is in danger and override their wishes because they're like, I'm going to save your life. She's like, no, I'm still going to be loyal to you, even though I'm scared. I love her. I freaking
Someone told me that she gave them like she's like the best friend who's like, do you need me to bury the body with you?
Yeah, she really is.
Perfect bestie energy.
She really is.
Is she, so since it's a series, will book two take us to Malika's story? Like, I read it as that's where the natural continuation of the story would be, that they would all head in that direction. Is that your plan, or do you have other adventures, stories?
Yeah, so that's kind of, yeah, that is my plan. Like, I wanted Harrow and Wraith's like primary story to be like completed, but I want to continue like the overall conflict of the book, but I want the focus to shift to like different characters. So like Malika's story is going to be next, and yeah, we'll keep like expanding off of like the conflicts that are in the first book, but this focus is going to shift to her character and someone else.
Do you have like a number of books that you're
I think there'll be at least three. I would like to do more, but I need to do some like heavy plotting and figure out, because I have like an idea of where the like the story arc series arc is going to go. I just need to like kind of break it into book chunks. But yeah, at least three.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So we talked about Oro, who we love, which leads into one of our questions that we always ask our guests. We have a segment on our podcast, which we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we pick a fictional character that we read or we watched that week, and they're it for us that week. Do you have any fictional characters that you would just ride or die for, fight anybody over?
This is where every book you've ever read is gone. Like, you don't have I ever seen a movie? Have I ever watched?
Like, yeah. What's a book?
Instantly, I'm like,
what's TV?
Everything disappears.
I'm like the only person on earth who is fully prepared 100% of the time for that question. Even Karen, who asks people every week, she's like, I have to tell her hers.
Yeah, I never remember.
I have to know what your answer is for that.
Oh, Aaron Warner. Aaron Warner from Shatter Me by Tahereh Mafi is like number one. I love Hudson Vega from Crave. I love Lorcan from Throne of Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Aaron Warner. Aaron Warner.
I haven't read that series, but I've heard of things. Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff.
For me, the only reason this popped first into my head is because I was talking about this series earlier today. So that may be contributing to that. But I don't know if you guys have read Cressley Cole's Mortals After Dark series.
I haven't, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, well, there's one book. I don't know why I'm just obsessed with this book. It's like my comfort read. You know, like once a year I pick it up and reread it just when I need the feels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's called Demon from the Dark. And the character is Malcolm. He's a demon vampire. He's super troubled. I love him.
Oh,
I love
sold. That. That sounds
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, you had me at Demon Vampire.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I peeped your website a little while ago and I read about a hip hop prog band and I want to know more about that.
Cool. Yeah, I used to, well, I still do, but less seriously. Like before the pandemic, I was like a touring musician and that was my like primary kind of thing. And like, I grew up playing piano. I was a classical pianist when I was a kid. And like, that was always my big dream. Like, you know, when you're little and someone's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I would be like, a concert pianist. Like that was like, for sure, my thing. And then, yeah, like you get older and like you change and whatever. And then when 2020 happened, I had been like writing like as a more of a hobby, but like a very obsessive hobby, like not a healthy hobby level of fixation. And then in 2020, I was forced to kind of like reassess like what I was doing because like music just like stopped basically. So that was when I started my like publishing sort of journey, and like it kind of took over, like, and this is now my primary focus. But I still play music and I still love it. But yeah,
that's really cool. It's you're well-rounded. Like you're writing books. You've got a whole nother series. You want to tell us about that? I haven't read it. I just learned about it.
It's a paranormal romance. Thanks. It's my indie series. So that's kind of what I started first publishing with. But yeah, it's like about a group of demons that escape hell and they want to live on earth and not be evil anymore. It's kind of like lighthearted and funny. They live in Montreal, which is where I live.
I love that.
Yeah.
They sound like sweet baby angels.
Yeah, they are. That's pretty much exactly the vibe.
I love that so much. Can you talk about, so you are both indie and traditionally published. Can you talk about kind of what that means for anybody who doesn't know, and also what each of those journeys kind of looked like for you?
Yeah, my story is very, I think, unusual. A hybrid author means that you're both published through a traditional publishing house, or we call it trad pub to be short. And then indie is like where you are the boss, you wear all the hats, you do everything yourself, you publish yourself. So when I first started deciding that I wanted to publish my work, I thought, what's my ideal scenario? And I kind of was like, well, I like the idea of TradPub because, you know, in the ideal scenario, you have like editors and proofreaders and, you know, they do everything for you. But then I started getting into the like query process, which is like, in order to get a publisher, you have to query whether it's agents or publishers, and you write them a letter, and you kind of like, speaking of me sucking at the elevator pitch, like you elevator pitch your book in an email and you hope they read it, and you have to email them like 5 times and then they, you know, wait 6 months to hear back. So I got kind of sick of that pretty fast. But so then like, and I'd always really liked the Entangled, like I read a lot of their romance books and I just thought they were a good publishing house. So I queried them, but I sent one last query and I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm over it. So I was like, I'm going to go indie. So then that was when I started publishing my demon romance series, and that happened. And then like 6 months later or something, like Molly Madjumder, who's my editor at Entangled Red Tower, she actually got back to me and was like, oh, like, I really liked your fantasy book. So we started working together, and that was actually before Red Tower like existed at all. So we were just planning like a fantasy romance release like on its own. And then they ended up starting Red Tower and like wanted to put my book in with their releases on that. So I was obviously like, hell yeah, let's do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so it all kind of happened, like it wasn't like some grand plan. It was kind of just like things like unfolded and I just went with it.
That is so cool. And
it's inspirational for other people who are like, I'm an indie author. I'm never going to hear back. I emailed 3 months ago and I haven't heard anything. Like, your email could be coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, what helped is that I was like, this is my like ideal scenario. Like, I defined kind of like exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then I tried. And then at a certain point, I was like, okay, like, that's not working. I'm going to do this other thing. And I like, because I think a lot of people feel like they have to just stop and wait while mm-hmm. they're waiting. And I think that was what made it work for me, was that I just like, just kind of adjusted my plan as I went.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. How's it feel really to cool. be part of this kind of opening class of Red Tower? Like, the books that have come out already have already knocked
heavy
people's
hitters.
Socks off. Like, you're in
good,
good
company.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that before. It's pretty surreal. Like, yeah, it just like, they didn't really tell me what was going on for a while. And they were just kind of like, we're pushing your book release back. And I was like, okay, like, why? And like, I know they couldn't talk to me at the time because they were like sorting things out. So, and then it was like, oh, we're starting a new imprint. And I was just like, cool. Like, and I was just really like, whatever. And then they like, yeah, when Fourth Wing like blew up, I don't think any of us were like expecting that. Like, so there was kind of like this like, oh shit, like, this is the real thing.
But, I got an yeah. arc of it and I almost wrote in it because I like to make notes in my books as I'm a heathen. But I was like, I'll get the clear sticky notes. And now like I would like it's like a prized possession, you know, like
it's literally
I would
like a
never
collector.
Sell it or anything like that. But I'm like, I am so right.
She has a first printing that she annotated.
I do have that. I have like, I don't,
it was
got the
it
stenciled
was,
edges, the one that everybody's like,
it
whatever.
Was before it like exploded.
Yeah.
She bought a second copy.
When I
so
read
that,
the art, yeah. I pre-ordered it so that I could finally write in it. And now people are like paying hundreds of dollars for that book. And I'm like,
whoops,
I scribbled in mine. Oops. So that kind of goes into another question that we always ask our authors, which is, we know you write, we know we like your books that you write. What are you reading when you're not writing? What books would you recommend?
That's actually hilarious because I tend to, like, especially while I'm writing a book or near a release, I tend to like to clear my mind and like, you know, whatever. I read like the complete opposite of what I write, like on purpose. So right lately I've been reading like rom-coms. Like, and contemporary
oh, we love
romances.
Rom-coms.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, cause I was just like, I need to like, I don't like, it's partly because when I'm writing something, I want my inspiration to be like, I just want, if I get an idea, I don't want to question like, where did I get
yeah,
that idea?
You want it
from?
To be yours.
So yeah. And like, sometimes there are themes that are in multiple books because that's just the way the world is, like,
oh yeah.
All our brains are kind of linked. So that happens. But then it's nice to know, like, if that does happen, you're not like, did I accidentally,
mm-hmm.
like,
right.
you know? So yeah, so that's one reason. And the other reason is I think it just helps me like get out of my head. like at the end of a day of, you know, marketing or writing or whatever, like if I go read something that's like the total opposite of everything, that it's kind of like a cleanse. And like reading has always for me been like an escape or like a safe place. So like, yeah, I just read like lately I've been reading like the funnest, lightest, happiest, you know, I was reading Christmas books all December. So
oh my gosh, I read a Christmas book. It was oh my God, what was it called?
I have no idea.
Oh, I can't remember. It was like a cute little rom-com, but it was Happy Little Meet Cute, Merry Little Meet Cute.
Oh, I love that book.
Yeah, Sierra Simone and somebody
and
else.
Julie Murphy.
Yeah, and it was
I read that one.
It's like a boy band, ex-boy band member who's kind of, he was the bad guy, and so the public has kind of scorned him, and he's trying to clean up his image with like a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie. But by like happenstance, a porn star gets cast as his lead. And so everybody on the set that knows is like, nobody can know you're a porn star. And just hilarity ensues. It was hilarious and cute, and you wouldn't think it was cute, but it was cute. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so sex positive. I'm obsessed with it.
That's amazing. I have to check that one out. Next December, I guess.
Yeah. You don't want to read it now. It's not like, it's not a Christmas book, but it's like they're filming a Christmas movie. So it's very Christmas centric, but it was good. Yeah, I liked it. And hey, we love a cartoon cover romance, a contemporary rom-com.
They're so fun and quick to just get your mind out of like the shithole that is the real world sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I need some happy, and I know this is gonna end happy. So
we're big Lana Ferguson fans over here. She's our bestie. Yes. You haven't read her books?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, okay. So you've got to read The Nanny, which is a chef hires like a nanny, and she used to have an OnlyFans, and he was her number one subscriber on OnlyFans.
I love it.
And then we have The Fake Mate, which is like a shifter romance where it's like a fake dating between an alpha and someone who he doesn't know is a beta. Not a beta.
Omega.
Omega. No.
Right.
No.
It's like a Omega verse.
Yeah.
It's She's Omega. Not an Omega.
She is an Omega. Girlfriend, it's called the Omega verse.
I know, but there's three. It's alpha.
It's alpha, beta, and omega. She's an omega. Okay. I promise.
I thought she was the B one. I thought she was not a beta, but something else.
No.
Yeah. Aren't betas like, the betas
they're
are like, kind
they're
of
second
like
in command, kind of.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
The omegas are like the rare, special, like,
breedable. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah. It's like she pitches it as like Omegaverse light. So like if you're not in the Omegaverse, you still learn.
Yeah, like, if you're not like in paranormal romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In paranormal romance, you can still
follow along.
Like the gateway drug.
I like that. I like the sound of that.
This is fun. Okay, so can you give us any kind of secrets or details about what's coming next for either this series or what you have coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm finishing up the last book in my indie paranormal romance series I mentioned that I'm writing right now. And people who've read the series are like, I feel really bad because I made them wait so long for this book. Like they've been asking for this book from the beginning. It's like everyone's favorite character. So that's a long time.
Really?
Coming.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I love
and,
that.
Yeah, I'm finally giving the people what they patiently been waiting for. And then, yeah, I'll be working on Malaika's story. That one is like kind of written. It's like written in the most loose sense of the word. So there's a lot of big edits to do, but yeah, it'll be fun to dive into that. I don't know when we'll start working on that again, but probably soon.
Do you have a kind of taking tentative release date yet, or it's all still up in the air?
Yeah, it's up in the air. Like we kind of, everybody took like the holidays. And so we were just kind of like scrambling for getting all the little things ready for the release on January 9th for Sanctuary of the Shadow. And everyone was like, well, I'm off until January 8th. So I'll see you then.
Oh.
So yeah. It's been like also good because it helped me just like, you know, take some time to chill, but it's also little,
and you
it's
avoid like the hustle and bustle of,
yeah,
you know,
totally. The pressure would be so on to be like obsessively like working the whole time. So it's been nice to be like, it's Christmas. Yeah.
Very nice. Well, speaking of which, this episode is going to be coming out after release date. So everybody go and pick up a copy of Sanctuary of the Shadow. If you get one of the first print run copies. It comes with stenciled edges and they're fucking beautiful. So maybe go check that out. Highly recommend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so
much. I love
much
that you guys
for...
have yours.
Yeah,
oh,
thank
we
you
were
so much
excited
for
so
sitting
cute.
With us. It was so much fun to read it.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited for what comes next. And I don't know about Mandy, but I'm looking forward to diving into this demon romance series that we're talking about. We love demons.
Yeah.
Which sounds so silly, but like it's true.
I love that you kind of like go far away. You're like, I'm just like, we love demons.
Your eyes go heart shaped.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It was
so much
fun.
You have a disclaimer to make, ma'am.
That's true. That's not on my housekeeping list, so I forgot. And it's been a while since we've done one of these.
I'm not sorry.
Mandy will never be sorry for this. I'll pretend that I'm sorry, but I'm really not. But we regret to inform you that now that you have been on the podcast, you are legally obligated to come back for every book release you have from here until forever. Sorry,
oh, that's
not
so
sorry.
Fun, though. I would love that. I'm super happy to do that.
And now we can let you
and
go.
And now we can let you go. Thank you so much.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
It was so fun. Bye.
I like her.
She's so much fun.
I know. And she's so pretty. I love her whole vibe.
Yeah.
And her cozy
oh
environment
my God.
Behind
she
her.
She looked so cozy. Like, I was like, can I come over?
I want
like,
to come over sleep over.
Yeah. It looks like the coziest setup. I don't know that I would get any work done in there, though.
No.
She said that was her writing space. I would be too tempted to take a nap.
I'd be falling asleep the whole time.
But man, it looked so cozy.
All right, everybody go get a copy of Sanctuary of the Shadow.
Those edges are so pretty. Mm. I'm obsessed with them. Listen, you know what Red Tower has put out already. Fourth Wing, Starbringer, Assistant to the Villain.
I was going to say Assistant to the Villain's right there.
Sanctuary of the Shadow. It's the next release. They've got a pretty good track record, I'm just saying. So if you're not going to listen to us, maybe just look at their record so far.
Look at the track record.
Okay, and it's time for a spiel? Yes?
Now it's time for a spiel.
Yay!
We haven't done one of these in a minute.
I know, it's been a while. We don't know what we're doing. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, to read our blog, as well as stream all of our episodes. Everything is there. You can find everything from there.
All the things.
All the things. If you would like to subscribe to Patreon, head to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon. You'll get access to early access to episodes. Words are hard.
And information.
And information.
Patreons knew about Rebecca Ross.
Yep. Before anybody else did. You'll also get video episodes if you subscribe to that tier. So lots of fun stuff happening over there. You can also stop by our merch shop. Go to incoherentfangirl.com/shop to pick up some merch. Wear some cute stuff. Mandy designed most of it and she's brilliant. So support
Millennial Hearts.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas, you just want to tell us that we're pretty, we will accept all of that in our inbox. Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And one final way to support the podcast is to rate and review wherever you are listening to us. Please give us your words. We love reading
them. We
love
your words.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have finished following us on social media, the podcast on social media, you can go and visit our internet besties because they're awesome.
Yep.
Do some self-care. Do some shopping. Head over to herecomesthenerd.com, use code FANGIRL, and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Then, once you've got all your artsy goodies, you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. Now, we have two codes for you to use. They don't stack, but you can pick one. We love you either way. You can get some book boxes. They sell like one-off items from the boxes. So you're going to use either Karen10 or Mandy10 to get 10% off. Just remember, make sure you spell Karen right.
I'm not like a regular Karen. I'm a cool Karen. And once you have done that, you're going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com, get some tea and goodies. Use code FANGIRLTEA to get 10% off your order. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA.
And you know her, you love her, we know her, we love her, Amber D. Lewis. We've got the Fire and Starlight Saga, which is complete. And now we're just dying for what comes next. But if you head to amberdlewis.com and use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your purchase. Buy all the things. Buy two of all the things.
Two of everything. It's great. You're supporting an indie author and getting a great series out of it.
Yeah. Galentine's Day is coming up. Get your bestie a copy of everything.
Yes. I love that. And then you can buddy read it together and go through the pain together.
Yep.
And once you have finished visiting our internet besties and supporting them, I guess we can, you know, head over and visit and support the show husband.
We like the show husband, I guess. So you're going to head to searchersbelieve.com and you can check out all of their things. They've got paranormal episodes. They've got the podcast, The Paranormal Mind, and they've got merch also designed by yours truly for the most part. So if you use Fangirl10, you'll get 10% off over there. They've been on a little bit of a break like us. They took the month of December off, but we're recording this weekend. So they will be back soon. I've been sending some ideas for episodes. I hope they've listened to me. It's going to be a good time.
Exciting.
Yep.
Yay.
Yay for besties.
We love all of them. And we love y'all for supporting us and them.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening.
I guess we'll see you nerds in season 3.
Oh my God. I can't believe it's our third season.
This is crazy.
Exciting. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd, pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.